My man, you're back. We were just saying how, you were saying it crept up quick, and it feels like just yesterday you were at USAPL Nats. And I know you mean, but like for me, because I do the commentary obviously for like IPF Worlds and Sheffield and on the IPF side, man, I've been waiting for you fellas to come over for it feels like forever. I've been waiting
Yeah.
for you to come over.
For me, it feels like it happened in the blink of an eye. Like, it feels like forever. At the same time, yo, we were just in the USAPL. This was just yesterday. Time flies. Powerlifting time, it flies. It really does. We
It
had two
is.
Sheffield.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's like the gift and the curse. The thing is, like, it reminds you how fleeting these moments are and athletic primes are. Like, an athletic prime, like, for instance, the first Sheffield rolled around, everybody was like, this is Taylor's to run away with beforehand. Like in when Sheffield was first announced in 2022, and that's not ancient history, but in 2022, in the summer of when we were all at Worlds in South Africa, and you guys were in USAPL still, I remember like putting up a poll, and vast majority were like Taylor, 100%, it's going to be Taylor who's going to run away with this. By the time Sheffield rolled around in 2023, which was like just the beginning, second month of 2023. Taylor was already heavily injured and the tides start turning. And then by 2024, now it's like Perk era,
Things
like,
change.
and I'm not saying Taylor can't come back or whatever, but it's just a reminder that, Father Time is undefeated in cycles come, athletic primes are only yay big. It's a
Yeah.
reminder of that. And we are so young as a sport, especially on like the raw side. We haven't seen too many Michael Jordans come and arrive and then, age out. It's natural. It's going to happen with every single
Yeah.
person.
Errors happen. I remember telling Austin Perkins, I don't know if he remembers this, but I remember when he lost to Taylor, and I was like, yo, trust me, your time is legit coming. Powerlifting is all about recency bias. So he's gonna enjoy this, he's gonna enjoy this win for the moment, but you're gonna have your flowers when it's said and done. Your time is coming. That always happens. Someone's gonna have their year, and it could be up just as quick. Or they could have, a rough level type of dominance, which is amazing. But everybody has their time to shine, and that always is the case. It takes one meet. It takes one meet.
One super meet. And there's age gaps between like Taylor and Perk is like 10 years. So it's going to be like, look at my man. This isn't going to be like this forever.
Yeah. Now, and oh God, Austin, he just has so much time to just keep solidifying his legacy. He just has to keep doing him.
As long as he stays healthy, because sometimes you get like a Jesse Norris, who is absolutely phenomenal,
Exactly.
who's like way ahead of his time. Jesse Norris still, his numbers haven't been touched. I get it. There's some asterisks because it was at a USAPL meet, but they didn't use calibrated plates and whatever. But still, absolutely freaking incredible. And he was a junior, and before he even could age into the open, he was already finished. Or we're talking about Russ. Brett Gibbs in his prime was like toe to toe with Russ and was the only guy we'd seen that were toe to toe with Russ. And Brett was cut down in his prime through injury. Like shit like that happens.
Yeah. People barely know Jesse Norris nowadays. Brett Gibbs, yeah, people know him, but like, if I go to my powerlifting gym and I say, yo, Brett Gibbs, you know Brett Gibbs? Ooh, I gotta look him up. It's like, I don't wanna be that. I wanna be remembered. So you just gotta keep your foot under gas. I know life can kick you in the ass sometimes, but you just gotta keep going. You gotta forcefully make your name be remembered, literally.
How do you think is the best way for you to do that?
Well, it's simple. You got to pull a Russ. You got to stay relevant. You have to pull a Russ. Stay relevant. Keep winning. Fine. Just got to keep winning. keep your name out there in the public. Keep winning, and longevity comes with it. Russ is the greatest at doing that. Literally, I can't name anyone better. Literally.
So a couple things with that, but it's an interesting conversation. But do you think like Russ gets enough kudos? Because here's the thing. He doesn't have like Dots does not favor him in terms of a formula. Mm-hmm. Since Brett, he hasn't had a lot of big showdowns where like they're heavily hyped. So people get like, oh my God, I don't know who's going to win. Sort of a Sean Noriega, but didn't really pan out into a rivalry. Well, you know, do you think he gets underappreciated due to like he wasn't even included in the outlier list, which I want to get into all of this with you, obviously, but what do you think about all that? Like, is he an outlier? Is he not an outlier, but he's a world champ consistent?
Oh wow, straight to that. So I love Russ. Russ got me into the sport, literally, legit. I love Russ. Dope ass powerlifter, the dope ass guy, legend, one of the goats. But as far as being an outlier, he is an outlier, but there's like, it's going to be tears to it. You just can't put him amongst the top three, or even I'm, you know, hovering around that 4 or 5 mark. And I have to accept that because I haven't had a performance that exceeds or is on par with a Jesus or an Austin. What makes an outlier is how far are you? He's far from the 83, but you can't have an Austin Perkins, a weight class down, that close to you. That's how does that make you an outlier if someone smaller than you has the potential to out-total you? I would expect him to say something along those lines as far as there is tiers to it, there's levels to it, and the fact that someone smaller than him is capable of doing what he's doing, how can he be called an outlier at the fourth spot ahead of me? Or the fifth spot, debatable, you know, it's very debatable. But yeah, that's the most logic thing. That's the most logic way I could put it. It's legit. If I was a 105, right, and a 93 is on my ass, don't ever have me in no damn conversation about being an outlier ever. And that's legit.
Yeah, I think it's, because it's a nuanced conversation. It's, I think you're right in that, like, obviously an all-time great. Like, he's got to be the greatest 83. And his longevity is incredible in a sport that we see people get cycled out so quickly, and he's still here, still the number one. But also, outliers indicate, like, standard deviations away from the pack. That's all it is. It's not, an outlier isn't, like, how long have you been reigning on top? Are you the number one 83, et cetera? It's how many deviations are you from everyone else? And he's 9 kilos away from Perk, who's doing it, you know, he did it as a 75. So you can't, to that point, that wouldn't be, by definition, this big outlier in terms of what we're talking. So when people say, like, is that hypocritical or double standard? But it's not. He's a phenomenal power lifter, an all-time great, but not standard deviations away from the rest of the pack. He's actually, him and Perk are pretty neck and neck. So that would not be, unless you... So that makes sense. Now, having said that, did you want to add on to that? Look like,
oh, no, I'm listening.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
Listening.
Now, having said that, who are the outliers in powerlifting in IPF men's side? Let's take out the untested.
Oh well, it's absolutely Jesus. You got Austin, and you have Rondell. Those three guys come to instantly. And then, if I were to think of anyone else, I wouldn't even want to be, you know, I don't want to say me, but it's legit me being number four. It'd be insane to think it's not me number four. You could also write, you could argue Ashton as well. The thing with Ash is, I think training age has to do with it. I honestly think me and Ash are equal as that outlier at the 105, 110 spot. And those are the only guys I can consider. Keenan as well, but then you're just going to get into the conversation of who's pretty much the best 110, 105, and that's literally going to be your outlier. Though I think I do have an advantage over those two, which is my training age, and the fact that I'm not the same Bob that lost to Ashton last year. I'm with my training age, it's younger than both of them. So I'm going to grow faster than both of them. I'm going to stay healthier. I see my potential higher. So me last year is not the same this year. Me next year is certainly not going to be the same this year. Just because of my training age, I'm going to be able to put on more to my total. So I do think I am the fourth outlier. And as well, you can be, you know, it's interchangeable for sure. But yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, there's a lot of people that probably don't think I deserve that spot because they see the title 120 kilo. And then they'd be like, oh, Rondell smokes it.
That's it. That's it. That's exactly it. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, expand on that.
It's weight classes or labels. And once you see that 120 and you attach me to the label, that's what you're going to look at me as. But people need the context. It's a lot more to it than just seeing 120 kilo next to my name. You're what? 60 kilos behind Rondell, 70-ish kilos behind. It's more to that, buddy.
So this is the situation. And okay, earlier when I said, when you were saying you want to make yourself like known and cement your legacy, not get forgotten. And you have, we were just talking briefly about the limited time that athletes have to do that. And then since the Rondell post and Rondell, the episode blew up, I was asking Pete, and Rondell said there's only four outliers and he had you in there. And I was asking the public, who are the four outliers and who are the kings of powerlifting? So they had you in the outliers comments. Everyone was saying Bob, but when I asked the kings, they weren't saying Bob. And I think it is exactly that. The identity crisis or whatever is exactly what you pointed out. Because when I said, who's the outliers, they're like, well, I mean, look what Bob's doing at his body weight. It has to be an outlier. What, you know, Ash is, if you want to argue that Ash is close enough that you have to put a spread on Ash to be an outlier, just like we were talking about, Russ needs a spread on Perk, et cetera. Okay, fine. But I think you're definitely, you could be in the conversation for sure. But the reason why, when I asked, who are the kings? And they, in the IPF, they're saying the big three. I think you hit it right on the head because they are looking at weight classes. And they looked at it as, well, who's the king of the 105s? Who's the king of the 120s? Who's the, and with you, they were like, they dropped the whole outlier thing. And I, so now I'm wondering, what do you think you can do, A, to corrective action that if you want legacy-wise to be like, look at, okay, I just got a glimpse here. The public might not give me my kudos if I play in between two weight classes type deal. Maybe that's not the route to go. Or are you just like, look at, in due time, it won't matter. I'll stay one, like a small 120 David and Goliath matchups. And maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure, but it was telling in terms of a temperature of the room from powerlifting community. It was telling anyways. You got flowers, but at the same time, not full respect, I think.
Yeah. Yes. It's also my demeanor. It's also the way I carry myself. I carry myself confident. And when you don't, when you speak a big game and you're so far away from this side of the spectrum, which is the 120s, Rondell, and you're not even a 105, then you're like, okay, you're just talking to talk. So you're not getting the flowers that we think you want. As far as what do I need to do to have that legacy? That's easy. 105 IPF, win titles year after year. I think that would be that's the easiest thing you can think of as far as to put myself with those top three, right? I could be just as much of an outlier as any one of those guys if I competed at 105 for sure. What's my decision going to be as far as compete against the big dogs, weighing for less than them? I have no idea yet. I'm not going to lie. However, I can say this. I am a tactician. Whatever meet I'm doing, I'm definitely going to plan to win that meet. So if we're talking about something like a Sheffield's, you know my answer to Sheffield's. You think I want to go to Sheffield's with a disadvantage? Absolutely not. I'm pulling out all the trump cards. If I think I could win Sheffield's, I'm absolutely doing 105. Absolutely. I think right now, if anyone that can give Austin Perkins a run for his money, it's definitely me. I don't think there's anyone that... No, it's definitely me. Austin Perkins is like what? He's potentially 40, 50, 60 kilos over the world record total at 74 as far as his potential, his capabilities. Same thing for me at 105. Absolutely. That's part of the world record total? Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's a lot. It's just a lot of narratives and context that people need, and the narratives that you can play with to have conversations like this, literally. All of it matters. However, what I will say is, no matter what I choose, I'll always be in the conversation. It'd be disrespectful to me to my own damn self if I wasn't in the conversation. So I'll always be in there for sure.
I think you are 100% right in that if you go 105 and to be the best 105, you got to take on legends like Ashton Anatoly. So you get props right off the bat for the head-to-head best thing guys like that. Yeah. And B, if you can make it new territory as a 105, we're talking 1,000 kilo total as a 105, shit that people just never saw before. Yes. And you're that guy to bring it there. You're that guy to do it. That's when you get the flowers. Like, we hadn't seen someone in the 74s until Atwood, until Perk. We hadn't seen like shit like that. If you are the first to start breaking down new barriers, 100%. Not only will you be an outlier, they'll be like, king. They're talking kings. Now it's no longer the big three, it's the four kings.
Damn, you make it do, you do make it sound tempting. That's a tempting thing, yo. Jesus. Like, see, if I do that, I'm living to the public's standard. Me living to create that legacy. That's the thing. I'm against that a little bit, but I'm also like, it's tempting because, hey man, legacy is a legacy. No one gives a damn if you weigh 110, 111, 112 and do a little over 1,000, but you're still way behind Rondell. No one gives a fuck about that. They rather care about, did you win the gold medal? Were you the first to do this or that? That's the thing. And I'm right in the middle of both, which is crazy. So I just have to pick. And it's not a one-day decision thing. It's not a one-week decision. That's like, what do I want to do? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I believe if I'm 105, no one's touching me. I would love anyone to challenge me at 105 if I did it. Anatoly, respectfully, hell no. I'm sorry, but no. Ash, my friend, my good old teammate, you had me last Nationals, but I'm being honest, the rate I grew at is better. I'm a different lifter, like I said, and I'm also a conventional boy now, which makes it more, my execution on my lifts is second to none. Conventional just adds to that. So it will be hard for Ash to beat me at 105, I'm not going to lie. I think I would dominate like crazy, like insane. So all of this is tempting for sure. And I definitely got to sleep on it. It's not an easy go 105 win. Go 120, get stronger. Nah, because I'm thinking I do want to go 120. That's where my mind is at. But legacy, what's good for your legacy? And 105 is screaming that. However, I want to bench 600. I want to do big numbers. 120 screaming that. So got to weigh my options for sure.
Yeah, when it comes to legacy, it really is the public that decides, because they're the ones who legacy is who's going to talk about you in 5 years. I mean, we talk about, you know, and I honestly believe, and we were talking about Brett Gibbs. He peaked at a time before powerlifting took off. And that's half of the issue with him and legacy-wise, people remembering him. He is associated with Russ, who's a massive star. So if you look into Russ, you'll find Brett. And if you talk to Russ about his career, he has to mention Brett. That is a tip of the hat to Brett. So he has that, thank God. Mm-hmm. But he missed, you know, how big powerlifting is now with Sheffield, all the TV deals, the streams being so much bigger. If he was around during this time, I do think his legacy would have stuck a lot better. But it is the public who has to decide end of day. We see this with, for instance, I mean, I've talked about before, but I'm all caught up on it. The Drake, Kendrick Lamar rap battle and beef. I, honest to God, I'm biased, but after Drake's last song, I'm like, I thought Drake won this. I thought Drake, you know, I liked the last song. I thought he might have pulled it out at the end. And the public decides. And it's Kendrick still. It's Kendrick.
Yeah. And even if you,
we don't get to ask one or two people. We get dictated to by the public. It is what it is.
It's bad right now for Drake, but it is the public, man. I'm not going to lie. That goes for every sport. That goes for everything. It's the public. Basketball, football, powerlifting, rap beef, everything. It's the public.
And if you go 105, so there's a possibility of you having your cake and eating it too. You could go 105, do everything you're talking about, and still possibly face Rondell. The biggest issue is, can you bulk up and bulk and cut down? And, you know, that's the toughest.
Hmm.
There is, though, so you're going 120 to Worlds. And we'll get into that in a minute. But let's say you win, you go to Sheffield. You can probably win Worlds at a lighter body weight, staying relatively close to 105. And then for Sheffield, be 105, and you're good. You know, perfect. Then after that, we have the World Championships and World Games. And World Games is where we start pushing two weight classes together. The 74s and 83s are together. And we'll see Perk versus Russ. And let me see. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'll take a look here. And it's points amongst the together weight classes.
Oh, okay.
So it's tough where, I mean, in a way, when you're in Sheffield, I mean, you could for sure stake your claim as the king of all of powerlifting by the time Sheffield rolls around. If you go as a 105, Sheffield is such a monster, a big show. If on that stage, you are the first 105 ever to do 1,000 kilos, you'll always be remembered. And then on that stage, if you go head to head with Ash, holy shit. And on that stage, if you best Perk, if you win Sheffield.
Yeah, I promise you. I promise you. Oh, that's on my mind. I promise you. I think it's more than possible. I'm capable of 1,000. I'm a walking 1,000 kilo total. As far as the numbers, I've squatted 804 in the gym. I've benched 540. I've pulled 855-ish. I think I will need 860, 865 for the 1K. But as far as can he do it? Yeah, it just takes one day. And I am 105 as far as I'm a shit away from 105.
Yeah.
So it's, trust me, it's like, yo, you can do it. It's in you. Just got to do it. So I know everything at stake. I know all that's there. Beating Perkins, definitely a possibility. He's not invincible, though he's looking invincible. and then the 105s, everything. It's just a lot.
You wish you went 105 already and you're going to Worlds as 105? Or do you think, look at the way things are working out, because there's a couple factors here. I'll set the table for you. You as a 120 gives America a safer shot due to your total of collecting a gold medal there. And that's 12 points, then collecting a gold medal at 105, as well as 120, as well as... So the safer shot for America to win Worlds as a nation and possibly have the first ever sweep. And I want to first ask you about that, how, because you're going 120, you have to wait for your 105 debut, probably Sheffield. But so maybe, all right, it's a delay in that respect in terms of really getting your flowers and putting 1,000 kilos as 105. However, there's another legacy piece. You possibly might be a part of a sweep. Do you think Team USA can sweep? Do you think, what do you think the chances of Team USA sweeping? And in that respect, collecting all these gold medals for Team USA, is it almost worth it? Like, look, it personally, it's not the greatest, but for our team, this is probably working out for the best.
Okay, so as far as do I regret not going 105 for Worlds? No, I don't. It doesn't draw the competition out of me as the 120s is right now. So I'm perfectly fine. I'm happy as hell with that decision. Also, it's allowed me to grow, just be bigger than 105. And do I think the USA team is going to sweep? I'm not going to be the American that says, oh yeah, we're sweeping, we're spanking them at every single weight class. No, anything is possible. I think I could be, I'm looking at me as a weak link. I know everybody, favorite, but Tony Cliff is out there. He's out there. Etienne is also out there. I pay attention to all my fellow 120s. I'm the smaller guy. Their training is looking amazing. My training is looking amazing too, but I could be a weak link. You never know. And it's good to say that about yourself because you're open to being tested. You're overestimating your ops, if anything, and you could dead ass lose. So I could call myself the weak link. Hey, what if I don't win? No sweet. Also, Petrie has a battle. My teammate. Ash has a battle. My other teammate. So the fact that there's three battles, I'm not giving I'm giving Team USA like a 50% chance at a sweep, maybe a 40% chance. And I think that's just logic. I'm the one in the battle. I'm the one in the battle. I know how this works. You get punched in the mouth, you're like, oh, I don't know. I didn't expect this. Oh, no. It's not how it goes, man. You gotta, at least as the competitor, you gotta anticipate the worst case scenario. And I'm not doing that just to be, just to fake it. No, this is actual reality. Like, you can dead ass lose. The conversation about a sweep is very cocky. I'm not gonna lie, and I can see why the internationals are pissed off at it.
It's never happened.
Yeah,
that's quite, even the 66s. Jonathan Garcia, the American, has the unofficial world record, but it's not a huge spread. You know, he's got the unofficial world record by like 6 kilos. Like, that's, there's some battles, to your point, that can easily sway either which way. But if you could pull this off, it would be the first ever in our sport, and it would be remembered like the dream team. It would be, do you remember in 2024 when America pulled it off?
That would be insane.
The impossible. You know, and they would be like, who was on that? People, you want to talk about legacy, Bob? People will remember every member of that team because it's never happened before and may never happen again. And they will say legends like Jesus Olivares, legends like Russell Orhi, legends like Bob Matthews. This is where you start getting coupled into that, where it's like, oh, wow, wasn't that a special year, a special squad? Yeah. But we're not used to talking like a team sport. But in team sports, it's not just your performance, but the rest of your team has to level up to win. And uniquely in powerlifting, we very rarely talk like this because we don't see it as a team sport, but at Worlds it is. And you need all of your players to play.
I will say this. I thought about this when you mentioned Jesus. Just standing next to him, like, I kind of do want to stay 120 because, yo, I was at Nationals, right? PA Nationals. I was standing behind Ray Williams. My small ass benching after Ray Williams. I'm like, it's an honor to be in this big-ass flight with big-ass people. It's just an honor. And on top of that, you kind of compete last. You compete on the last day, usually, as a 120. So there's perks to staying 120. Absolutely. So once again, it's options, but I just had to throw that out there because, like, it's Jesus, the 120 plus, and then it's me, the 120. I'm like, damn, am I really under Jesus like that? Like, damn, I'm next in line as far as when you go in order of the weight classes, and then Ash and then Petrie. But yeah, that's crazy.
You're young enough to probably do a few of these things. You're young enough, maybe, well, not maybe, you are, to do some heavy damage and creative, like do a bunch of firsts as a 105, then move up to 120 and have a second chapter as a 120. And in that second chapter, God knows what you might be doing. But you could do both, but it's tougher to double back to 105. It's probably easier to get that done right now. And it feels like your body's kind of leaning towards that 105. You were saying, you're saying you were crushing food, doing everything you could to bulk up, and you just naturally ended up 105.
Oh, I'll be honest, narrative is changing. I'm a big boy now. I'm like 238 right now. I'm 239. And also, I dropped my calories because it's taking less. I don't know what the fuck's going on. My body is transforming. It's insane right now. My body is maintaining that weight with a lower calorie. Literally, it's insane. So what this is telling me, and this is also one of the, wait till I, just wait. I could definitely fill out 120. It just takes time. Because I put out transformation videos with my body weight when I was 220, almost like 2 years ago. And every 6 months, I would update it 5 pounds, 5 pounds, 5 pounds. And I'm this close to 240. And by next month, I should probably be 240. And that would make 2 years, 20 pounds. And now and then, my body composition is the same. Literally, you're going to see the video. So that just goes to tell me 240, 24 pounds away from 120. That just takes another 2 years. So I absolutely, absolutely know I can fill it out. The thing is, time, the narrative. No one wants to wait 2 years to see you fill out 120. They want it now. They want your decision now, right? So I just, it comes with training age as well. Like, I can actually fill out 120 because I'm literally built for it. My bones are long. It just takes time to put on that quality mass. And I realized that through the calories, literally through the calories. I dropped my calories a good 600.
Crazy. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's insane.
Does Marcellus do your calories as well?
Yeah, but I definitely play with them. I tweak them a lot. I tweak them myself. But yeah, it's crazy. I went from 4.1K to 3.5, and I'm maintaining this weight, which is amazing.
4.1K is huge. You were seriously eating a lot to bulk up. People who think like, it can't be that hard, just eat a lot. Man, you were eating over 4,000 calories a day.
Yeah, and it just takes patience. I think it's just patience. That's all it is. All there is to it. It's just patience.
And you're right that people aren't patient, though. They want to see these special matchups now.
Yeah. So I will admit I am leaning towards the 105 spot, but 120 is not out of the count at all. Because like I said, I am a tactician. I do what it takes to win. I'm not going to a meet with an anchor on myself with ankle weights. No. If I do Sheffield's, if I make Sheffield's and I choose to do it, most likely I'm going as a 105. You'd have to pay me millions to do it as a 120. Why would I do it as a 120? You know? Makes no sense. Come on now.
And who do you think right now is the king?
Who's the king of powerlifting?
Damn. Rondell came on and said, it's me. I did a bigger spread in the 120s than Perk did in the 74s. Because Perk has Taylor previously, and the spread between him and Taylor, there's a spread, but it's competitive. And he's like, what I did in the 120s is unprecedented, and I don't think I'm getting my flowers for a various number of reasons in terms of Rondell. But he believes it's him. What do you think? Or it could be just Jesus because overall kilos hard to argue.
All right. So Rondell's my favorite lifter, favorite YouTuber, favorite powerlifter. But he can't be king. I can't say he's king because Austin is in the IPF right now about to do something crazy, right? Jesus has done something crazy. So to me, they all have this performance that's pretty much equal. All equal, right? The thing that outweighs Rondell for the both Jesus and Austin is they've done things in the IPF And all Rondell needs to do is to do something in the IPF. So just win something, win the title or Sheffield's. And then he does that. Hey, absolutely. There's nothing that separates them performance wise to me. It's just the accolade. So to be king, you kind of have to have an accolade with your performance. It's only right. Yeah, it's only right. He probably means king in a sense of potential, because his potential is insane and what he thinks he can achieve. I could see that. That would be between Austin and Ron. It's between all three, I'm not going to lie. Though, don't count me out. Don't count me out.
I was going to say, you too, though. You, like,
yeah,
if
don't,
you
don't
do,
count me out. The hell?
If you are the first 105 to do 1,000 kilos, everybody's got to reconsider.
And you know what the crazy thing is? I'm way more than capable of 1,000 at 105. So it would just take me doing it that first time and then just getting stronger. Because yeah. 105, like I said, it's a walking me right now, 1,000. I'm capable of way more than that. I promise. It just takes the day to do it. I just got to do it. So yeah, don't call me out of that conversation. I speak reality, but I'm definitely in there.
Okay, so I got a couple things off of this.
Mm-hmm.
One, why do you think now we're starting to see some of these big totals coming through that previously we just never even considered? At 120, at 74, why is this happening now?
I think it's, I would say about 2 years ago, something just happened amongst the community that drove competitiveness and us wanting to be better than the next, us talking about dots. It literally just started 2020, 2021-ish, and it's transforming the game. Like, no one's even really, yes, people care about, oh, who was the 93 champion or 83 champion? Yeah, they care about that. But now we're going to have who's the biggest outlier talk. So that's going to push people to not even just look at their weight class. People are going to now want to dominate their weight class. You got 18-year-olds trying to be the first to do this. Fuck what I'm doing in my weight class. I'm trying to be the first to total this. Be the biggest outlier, period. So it's just a drive in the competitive nature being exploded within the past 2 years. And I'm a big responsibility. I'm a big part of that. I'm going to be honest, as far as my YouTube, as far as instigating stuff in a way, like when I said about Rondell, he's going to be my biggest challenge versus Taylor Atwood, something like, well, Taylor Atwood still existed, but just putting things out there and the community is just being more competitive. Everybody wants to win. Everybody. And I think Dots has a big thing to do with it too. Dots has, if you really think deep about it, Dots has, we can thank Dots for this explosion in powerlifting. Really? We really can.
So why do you think Dots? Because that's interesting. My next was going to be, in terms of prioritization in your mind's eye of accomplishments, there's total. And I think that's what Rondell's heavily leaning on is, look at my total compared to other totals in my weight class. However, you also have to weigh that against titles, like a Russ. And then you also have to weigh that against formulas and to what degree people put stake in formulas. And then I'll add in another one that you could probably appreciate. I heard you talk a lot about it, is quality of opposition. Whereas, Okay, you had a big total. Did you win a title? Was there a high quality of opposition when you did that because of pressure is being applied? What is the formula is looking like for you? Like, for instance, when Taylor Atwood was number one, he had every single formula. So it was undisputed. It was easy for him to be like, no, I'm king. We don't have to have a conversation. Now we're having a bit of a conversation because Perk doesn't have every single formula. He's dominant, but he doesn't have every single one. But there is those, right? There's like, is your total a monster total? And that's where Rondell would raise his hand and say, excuse me, my total is monster. But the title isn't there. Quality of opposition isn't there. And formula's good, but you know it's tough. So, how do you balance all that in your mind's eye? And why Dots is the follow up to that? Oh, sorry, what you're saying about Dots instigated this conversation because I'm interested that you brought up Dots.
Yeah, so I brought up Dots because that's what started this explosion in the totals and the community and the conversations and stuff about outlier this, outlier that, because Rondell, he chased 600 dots.
Yeah,
he had his lift in mind what he wanted to hit, but ideally, he wanted 600. The first guy over 200 pounds to hit 600 dots as a natural, right? And he wanted Taylor's dots. Like, it's all dots, dots, dots. We're chasing these dots. We're trying to compete against everybody else pound for pound. And as a result, the totals that result with that dots are blowing everybody out the waters. So Rondell chasing that dots made him blow all the 120s out the water. If I didn't have Aston and I could just do whatever I want at a meet and I chased 600 dots, that probably would lead to a massive total in the 120, 105, 110s, 105s. That's the case. And I noticed that with people that don't have any competition in their class, they just find something else to chase. So, I don't have no competition in my class. Okay, I'm just going to see if I could be better than Austin or an 83 or whoever, right? So that, I strongly think that's responsible for the explosion. You cannot disagree with that. It just makes so much sense. Now, as far as going forward, it's not like DOTS is the tell-all. DOTS is not the tell-all. You have to have a combination of everything to legitimize your legacy. It takes everything. It's not just your performance. You gotta have titles, and I do know that. Because if it was just DOTS, guess what I would do? I would just compete at whatever I weigh, or even try to water cut, just try to get the highest DOTS, like I tried to do at the Arnolds a year and a half ago. Yeah. So it's a combination of everything. You must chase everything, longevity included. Gotta have everything. Yeah.
That's a tough one, is the longevity piece, but you're probably right. It's a combination of all the above. Right now, do you think we have for sure King in place? Like, when Taylor was number one, he had all the formulas, tested, untested record. Like, it was tough, right? It was like very difficult to argue against it. Is that happening right now with Perk? Or is this, it's not undisputed. This is we have a king, but it's a disputed king. It's too close. These outliers we're talking about, it's far too competitive to just be like, that's it, he's crowned, it's over.
Exactly. I'm going to be honest. If we sat at a table, however many outliers you want, and one of the outliers said, oh yeah, I'm way ahead of you, I'm the king, and y'all aren't close, his word weighs nothing at all. Because things can change just like that. It can change in the blink of an eye. God forbid Austin bombs out at Worlds. What happens? Does his king title, let's say if he's the king, does his king crown just get revoked? It could be that easily revoked. Are you kidding me? It's that close. And it's amazing. Like I said, recency bias. You cannot call yourself king after a, I know he didn't call himself king, but like if any one of the outliers were to, just understand it can change in the blink of an eye. It takes one super meet from any of the other outliers, or it takes a seriously bad performance to take that away from you. You can be stripped. Look at Jesus. I feel like a lot of people forgot what Jesus did just because he didn't do that good at Sheffield's. It happens. It could happen to anybody. It could happen to me. It could happen to Rondell. Rondell is on an amazing streak. What if he has a bad meet? People are going to shit on him? No, I think you could, don't even count me in it as far as the fourth outlier. But amongst the three outliers, it's interchangeable on any single day. Any single day. Crown hair, crown hair, crown hair. You can wear it. You can wear it. You can wear it. Now, for the future, the race is going to be who can dominate the next outlier down. Because I know that's all of what they're thinking. Austin's thinking that. Rondell is absolutely thinking that. We know. Jesus, I think he's thinking that. I think he's chasing the highest raw, the highest wrapped total and stuff like that. And that's ultimately going to determine his outlierness. So he's technically chasing that as well. And even I'm chasing that. So we're all chasing the same thing. But I can say that none of us, don't even include me, none of them can say that I'm certainly king and this guy ain't even close. No. You have to look at the next guy like you got to be scared of the next guy. I'm sorry. You're not safe.
I agree. I think in certain eras, in all sports, sometimes there's a clear number one. And other times, like I'm a boxing fan, at a certain point, we had an era where we called the Four Kings. And it was Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Thomas Hearns, and Marvin Hagler. But nobody could decide who's pound for pound the best. They're in different weight classes. At certain points, they clashed in super matches to try to decide who is the number one king. And one guy would beat A, would beat B, B would beat C, and then C would beat A. And you're like, what is this?
What
at the beginning, nobody could be the Muhammad Ali who beat them all. And sometimes you'll have an Ali who is like, okay, you're the king. You faced all the other kings and you beat them. And other times it's like this. I think that's the era we currently have where you might lean towards one of those parties, but we haven't yet seen someone establish themselves above and beyond, not beyond dispute. And and any title now is going to be disputed. And if you think it's Perk, Rondell still has claim enough to hop on a podcast and say, I think it's me and here's why. And he'll have valid reasons.
You know, I honestly don't think it might not be possible to break away from any other outlier. It seriously might not be possible. It's always going to be a debate in history. I don't think there's ever going to be a natural athlete to break away from the rest of the outliers.
Well, let me ask you this. That's an interesting question, or that's an interesting proposition, because I was thinking about this. So, although relatively brief, what Taylor did at that one moment in 2021, when he had all three of the major formulas, GL points, Dots, and Wilkes, and he also had the untested world record and the tested world record, like Jesus has both. Mm-hmm. And he also was a world champion, and he also was a USAPL national champion. So he had like all the titles and all the formulas.
Yeah.
I think at that moment, although not an extended period, he was the number one.
I agree.
Okay. So do you think, how likely is it? Are we just never, because I've been thinking about this, will we never see that again? Or will we, because the rest of the world, the depth of competition is leveled up, or do you think we might see that again, but it's going to be a long time and a special guy, like again, like a Muhammad Ali comes around, it's like, okay, but it is 30 years or something. I don't know.
Okay. So when Taylor did that, honestly, powerlifting is still very, very new. So when Taylor's doing that at a time where, you know, I know it was only like what, 2-3 years ago, but powerlifting is still new as hell. People are going to destroy that performance in years to come. So yeah, you're going to be ahead of your time, but what happens when the sport popularizes? When the sport popularizes, everybody's going to catch up. There's going to be 10 me's in like 5 years. There's going to be like 2 to 3 Rondells in like 5 years. Are you going to be an outlier then? Everybody's going to catch up. Yeah, you're going to be still way ahead of the pack, but it's not going to be as outlierish as it is now. That always is the case. And it's once the sport popularizes, there's not going to be another guy like Taylor Atwood in 2020. Where as a natural athlete, I cannot see that. People like me, Ash, Rondell, Jesus, Perk, we're all too good to be outshined like that. We are way too good. So as the sport grows over time, I feel like we're going to grow together. That's the best way I could put it. I can't see anyone unless the next guy we're talking about is different. And I'm not even talking about Austin Perkins different. I'm talking different.
Yeah. That's exciting to say, but it's true. Like, I think growing together is the perfect way to put it. We're going to grow proportionally at the same time, as opposed to one guy special in the weight class. I wonder. So for sure, the more people that participate, the more people at various different body weights, the more likely you're going to find outliers in all the different various body weights. The less people that participate, the less depth of competition, the more likely, if you have one outlier in, let's say, just for even numbers, let's say we only had 1,000 people competing 4 years ago, your net casting in terms of competition, you grabbed one outlier, he ended up being in whatever weight class, and it's, oh my God. But if your net is casting and grabbing 100,000 people, you're going to grab 10 hours in all different weight classes. And good luck. Good luck doing to your weight class more than ever the other guys are doing to their weight class. Like, to your point, it's like, no, the net's getting too big. But what would be crazy? Let me ask you this. Because we do have other mainstream sports. Like, I mean, mainstream sports where every high school and every college plays these sports. Are there outliers in basketball, football, baseball, whatever, that are so far ahead of the rest of the pack? Or are they relatively close? You could call someone else the king as well. I am not as into some of these other sports. I'm more into boxing and MMA. And that's a tough conversation. I don't know. Do they have – do you watch some of these other sports and you could say
– Even with time, even with all these other sports, time is going to fill in the gap of having these outliers. Like, we do have an outlier in basketball. Wemby, rookie of the year. He's 7'4". He's doing things we've never seen before. But guess what? In 5-10 years, there's going to be other 7-footers that can dribble like Kevin Durant, that can dribble like Wemby now. And that's going to fill in the gap. With time, is there even an outlier in boxing?
Yeah, I don't
know. Like, way ahead of the pack? I don't think so. No.
I don't think so either. Not right now, no.
I'm going to be honest. Time is an outlier's enemy. The outlier conversation's enemy. I wish we could live 300 years into the future and see what happens. But I'm going to be honest. In 300-500 years from now, everybody's going to catch up. Everybody's going to catch up. There's no way outliers are just going to keep on going. No. Outliers, if you look in the 1930s, 1940s, in all sports, you'll have outliers everywhere because everything was just new. Jesse Owens, Babe Ruth, because he was black and whatever, but you just have outliers everywhere. Literally.
How about this? Could we have, and you're probably right, but what if temporary kings? Like, for that, maybe it is only like Atwood, where it was like 2021, 2022, a couple years. Could somebody come in a couple years? It's tough to think of right now because what I think you're right. If Perk is amazing as Perk is right now, it's disputed. Like, you would need somebody a 74 to total 900 kilos. Like, even then, I don't freaking know if somebody else will come around and be like, yeah. Like, I think it's all about timing. If we have a super crazy, like Usain Bolt is as freaky an athlete as you can ask, right? And he was in a heavily populated sport. Everybody runs. That's culturally speaking, you could have little kids around the world. Hey, you want to race at lunch or recess? You want to race? Like, running and sprinting is across the world all throughout time. So to be the fastest man or fastest woman in the world is for really real a hell of a title. And he was an outlier like that. So I think there's, for his time period anyways, I think you're right. As time goes by, Usain Bolt won't be. We'll look back on other people.
Yeah. Never. Sadly.
But we might find a glimpse in time where we have our Usain Bolt come through and he does his damn thing. But it's going to be difficult.
It's going to be difficult. Track is a different type of sport too, because like it just gets harder and harder to break that world record. Someone beats Usain Bolt's record. See, it might be the opposite of powerlifting. Track might be the opposite. I'm not going to lie. Because those records are just going to get harder and harder and harder to beat. The human body is not made to run a 9.2 at all. So the closer you get to that 9.2, it's going to get harder. It's going to be years to break that world record. Like, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, the world record is going to get broken at a very rapid rate. Powerlifting, that's the opposite. It's the opposite, in my opinion.
We're just, powerlifting, we're so used to people just taking world records for rides and just like I got the shit co at Sheffield. It was a big deal when a 76 totaled 600 kilos. When Carlina Tongatea did it at 76, Agatha Shitko drops down to 69 kilo class and does it like a year later. And it's like a year later, a weight class below is doing it. In the men's, that's like, I mean, you know, whatever. What the world record is, a weight class up, all of a sudden a year later, the weight class down is now doing that. And to your point, we see that in powerlifting often, but in track, it's like fractions of a second they have to do it now because it's too tight. Like the difference between Usain Bolt and his closest adversary is fractions of a second.
Yeah, that's crazy. Track is a whole different sport. But the outlier talk, I love the outlier talk. And every sport, it's gonna be way different. The outlier talk is not gonna be the same sport at all.
There will be a time, you know, it's funny because this is it, like I blame this on Rondell who brought in like. Because he said
did
it sensational. He did it sensationalized. He was like, there's only four outliers. And then he dropped the four. So then it made it, he brought up the outlier talk in a debate style. And then you got guys like John Hack, they drop their deadlift. And then the caption, it just says one word, outlier.
I'm going to be happy, though. I'm happy he put me at number four for the outlier spot. I'm very happy he did.
That's respect. I think he needs to. I agree with that, by the way. I think you're an outlier at 105, for sure. And you know what? The weight classes, to your point, just gives perspective of what an outlier is. Because here's the one thing I'll say about dots and formulas. Not all feds use dots and formulas. In the U.S., it's more prevalent than some places in the rest of the world, so they don't have context to how good certain dots are. So it's, at the very least, a weight class, everybody knows. And then the record in the weight class, if you're well above what anybody else has done, people can be like, okay, I got you. That makes sense. So it does give a little bit of and titles give context where sometimes formulas don't. So that's where I think you're right in terms of it's better to have all of them for the best possible context because it doesn't get lost in translation. Whatever federation, tested, untested, wherever you are in region in the world, if you have the world record, the world title, a high formula, blah, 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 just start smoothing out the edges. And it's like, okay, it's getting tougher and tougher to dispute this.
Yeah.
The outlier talk has been
now you're going to have everybody chasing that talk. And I know how it works. I've already seen Joe wanting to claim the fifth outlier spot. And he has a lot of potential. He can honestly do it.
Who said that? Sorry.
Joe Bornstein.
Oh yeah. What do you think about that? He came on the podcast. I'm obviously revving that engine, putting gas in that tank about he's the next rival for Russ. Here is what's interesting. Russ has been able to remain relevant despite not being in a major showdown. Amanda Lawrence is unfortunately a victim of her own success in that after Daniela Mello, which was an amazing battle in 2019. She hasn't had a rival since. So now when the world championships roll around, not a lot of hype on the 84s. Sheffield rolls around, not a lot of hype on what Amanda's going to do because she's chasing herself. And it's like Usain Bolt running around the track by himself trying to beat his own record with nobody running beside him. I'll watch, but it's not as intriguing. Whereas Russ has stealthily kept himself, despite not having a true rival since Brett Gibbs, his back and forth with Noriega and Candido putting Sean will beat Russ as his profile. And like, even though it's working out to be a rivalry, and then his back and forth with Petrie, even though they never actually battled it. And now Borenstein, you know, and I'm putting gas in that tank, obviously, because it helps everybody, but Borenstein possibly a rival. These and the Europeans actually, sorry, and Ahoro and Jurins calling out Russ, being like, listen, when he comes back, we ain't afraid. We'll meet you on the platform. All of this keeps Russ, despite not having a showdown, and this is sports, my friend. There's nothing worse than watching a game in any sport and it's not competitive, and you're like, this isn't fun. And if it happens over and over and over, people like, I'm starting to get bored. The fact that we're in a sport and Russ has not had an exciting match, an exciting sporting match in years in terms of competitiveness, but yet remains so popular. How do we explain this?
Oh, how do we explain that? It just comes with the dominance, winning titles and titles again. Yeah, it just comes with that. That's literally it. Everybody wants to come at your neck when you're a champion for that long. Also, it does come with his demeanor, his personality. He has a big YouTube, so he's gonna talk his talk. I just saw, bro, I just saw him post something about his six championships. He said he had like a fancy quote and all that. And Tony Cliff, who has nothing to do with Russell or he. Did you see it? Did you see the post?
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. I see it.
Tony reshares the story. And then he puts on his next slide, he has a nice TikTok about cockiness. I screen recorded it because I should have kept the screen recording. It was a nice TikTok actually about being cocky is not a good thing. Because you'll get taken off your high horse very quickly. So Tony Cliff is talking about Russ. Just because Russ's demeanor and the fact that he's winning six chips, it just comes with the territory. Literally, you would never expect that. So that's why. That's why people, you know.
Like Amanda Lawrence is winning title after title after title, but she isn't taking to, like, for instance, if she has a rival. Like Russ had a rivalry with Petrie, not directly, but they both were going for the same record at 90 kilos. Petrie bombs, Russ hits to the friggin' social media like Drake versus Kendrick style. And it keeps people like, oh my God, either you like it or you want to see him lose now, but he stays in there like that.
Yeah. Whether you hate him or not, he's gonna have those people staying tuned in. That's a big thing. And I think I have a little bit of those characteristics because I think people are going to want to tune into someone like me as well, whether they hate me or not. So it comes with your demeanor as a lifter for sure and what you've accomplished.
Mm. So talking about this, at one point you were on the podcast and you were saying there is a competitive rivalry in terms of winning titles, championships, and head-to-head between the two teams, the Craftsman and Flex Squad, because you're the most dominant in the U.S. right now, or up there anyways. Like, I don't want to look past any teams, but it's very competitive. In terms of the world stage, it looks like you guys might be splitting this up. I don't know. I haven't actually gone through division by division who's going to win more titles or how's it all going to play out. But is this still a rivalry and a talking point? It was like a year ago, but things change. Maybe it's still like, we got it. Is it still, or what do you think?
I'm being honest, I totally forgot about that. Yo, there's so much more quote unquote important things like, you know, the sweep. Now we got to work together. I hope you win. I hope you win.
I know, it's very interesting where it's like, the dynamics change. Now you're teammates. I talked about it with, and like you guys are teammates now.
Yeah, I want Russ, please. Well, Russ is going to win. Who else?
Jesus, Russ, Keiko's. Amanda Lawrence.
I want to, of course, win. So it's like, I don't even, what is this? That's crazy how time changes, the narrative changes as well. But I can care less about, you know, beating Flex. I'm not going to lie right now. Just winning to win. It's crazy. That's a good question.
I think it's because we all want goals. And in most sports, it is team versus team. Naturally, that's how it's set up. And I think in powerlifting, despite it being an individual sport, we still do, as sports fans, gravitate towards team versus team. To a certain extent.
Yeah.
You guys were in the IPF and it was the US team, and you realize the pressures and everything and possible history making if you all win together. Before that happened, I think you were searching like the sports, or you're thinking, okay, let's do a competitive team versus team. This will be fun. Who could do whatever, right? And to an extent, the pro series you guys came from was kind of set up that way with, you know, people being points, etc. So it made sense. You gravitate towards the team versus team. Mm-hmm. And USAPL even crowned like who had the most champions and stuff in terms of team titles. But now that you've shifted over, focus change. And now if you were to be asked, Obviously, the sweep by U.S. men to make history and become a dream, the first dream team in powerlifting, is far more impactful than, I mean, this is, you would, it would be crazy. It would be the team everybody looks to throughout history. You'd be the only
Exactly.
ones ever to do it.
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't hope for a flex member to fail. That would be weird. That'd be very weird. That's not what you're hoping for. So the focus definitely does change. And yeah, it's just narrative. It comes with the territory. And I think that's perfectly fine. I think that's perfectly fine. Change is a must, you know, as long as we're getting better.
I mean, it's all in the vein of competitiveness and setting goal setting it in terms of all of this. And then once you get to certain levels, you're like, all right, I gotta switch some goals up because the landscape has changed, so to speak. And let's see what happens. Now, yeah, it just keeps changing. And guys like, you know, Rondell, Tony Cliff are not involved in any of that anyways. And those are your direct immediate adversaries towards your goals. And Perk, I mean, these guys aren't on either team, and you're like, well, these are my immediate opposition that have nothing to do with this. So yeah, of course things change. Do you think Ash has become a bit of a sleeper in all this conversation? To an extent, why is this happening? Because Ash, if you were just again 2 years ago, he was in a conversation that was rivaling Taylor Atwood as well. And now 2 years later, why are people sleeping on this man?
Recency bias. He hasn't really had. He's taken his training very conservative, just to preserve, you know, his health. And once again, it's recency bias. It's the narrative. The narrative always changes. Guess what? Bob is the fourth outlier. Oh, all Ashton has to do, have a crazy peak. Let's say if we're going head to head, let's say if I declare I'm 105 again and we're going head to head, Ashton's looking equal to Bob again. Ooh, guess what? Ashton's the fourth outlier now. Now they're neck and neck. It's all narrative. So that's why people aren't really talking about it like that. I see Ashton's my equal. There is no, oh, he's the fifth outlier. I'm the fourth. No, he's just as much of an outlier as me. So it just depends on the person's perspective. Because the outlier can be twisted like that. It's all narrative. I said the outlier. The narrative can be twisted just like that. Not the outlier. But
Yeah,
yeah. Ashton, he's prioritizing his health and other stuff, so.
I 100% agree. In a large extent, redemption is one competition away. Not that necessarily he needs redemption, but in the public esteem of all of a sudden, I mean, my God, everything was close until 2021, Taylor did his thing. Everything was close until Perk did his thing with 851. Everything's close until one competition and everybody changes the way they talk. And one thing that you have going in for you for Worlds, and this is a special setup for you, my friend. Ashton is hoping for Sheffield as a 105, wants to win, and it's Anatoly who's probably going to, I mean, you can't just sleepwalk through there. But he's going to try to win without overly extending 105. Russ, same thing. Perk, same thing. All those guys are going to go to Worlds and then Sheffield in the same weight class that they attend Worlds. Same with Jesus. There's one guy at Worlds, my friend, who might be going to Sheffield in a different weight class than he was at Worlds. And that one guy is you. And that gives you the liberty of just wrecking shit, blowing up a record, and not worrying about it because you don't have to deal with that record at Sheffield. And that sets you up and sets the table for you are going to have an outstanding performance at Worlds full tilt and be the talk of the world championship because of that. All gas, no brakes.
Yeah, I'm also absolutely. I mean, it's a cheap best lifter, but I'm definitely chasing best lifter as well. Because hey, Austin can't push his total. Ash can't push his total. Russ can't push it. Nobody can push it, but Bob can. Oh yeah, I could definitely. I've done the GL points, the GL points calculations, and Austin competes first. So, I mean, I think we were pretty close at GL on GL points this recent meet, although I did bad and Austin held back. So I know a specific total could blow up the GL points if I really wanted it. I'm coming. I'm coming. And I'm in one of the best spots of anybody else because, like you said, I am. I can choose to do 105 at Sheffield if I want. Austin Perkins, I do a lot of research. I'm paying attention to Austin's every single move, studying what he's capable of, his everything to the T, as if he's my direct competitor in my weight class. I don't know if he's doing the same to me. I think Austin doesn't know what I'm capable of at all. I don't think he at all. So, Austin Perkins, you better watch out. Austin Perkins, I'm probably, yeah, it would either be me or Ash that would give him a run for his money in Sheffield's. So he just got to do his studying. Watch out, Austin. I'm telling you. Because you might be 50 kilos over your the current world record or a little more, whatever your estimation is. Hey, do the math at 105 for me. Look what I weighed in at my last meet. Study my training. So, yeah. KJL, please.
I was just about to say KJL. That. I was just about KJL. To say that. I was just about to ask you, my God, has he not, Backlund has emerged out of Norway, come back. This is Taylor's old rival, you know, and he just has emerged like a how you like me now. He's Taylor's age, had a second wind, and is just eating away at that spread Austin would have had. It went from 790 world record to, I think he's got it up to 820 something or rather.
815?
Is 815 okay? And he said he's capable of 25 or whatever. I mean, he is such a huge factor in Sheffield. Even though, like, he was a reserve last Sheffield, but it's crazy.
Hey, Joe, please push that shit as much as you can. Make Austin go for 835. If Austin does 835, like, I still think, honestly, Austin, we know Austin's capable of 885, whatever. As long as he's within just 50-ish kilos of over the world record total, that's a W. That leaves competition for the rest, for everybody. Ashton at that point could be capable of what I'm capable of at 105 by the time Sheffield's comes around. So, KJL, you can do it. wait, hold up. See, that's me rooting for that against America in a way, you know? That's
yeah, but it's funny. Rooting for competitiveness, though. It's rooting for, it's, you know, in terms of viewership, he has definitely made it interesting for the rest of the world. He is so, it's so interesting the way Sheffield is, that a guy who won't be there has become pivotal to the storyline. And if you're outside of powerlifting, you're like, how does this work? This guy is not going to end up at Sheffield, but he's one of the most important factors in all of powerlifting for Sheffield. And it's like, yes, he is.
Yeah, yo.
Everybody in the world now is looking at, they're going to watch him and they'll be like, could he beat Austin for the world title? No, but it's not even about that. It's how close can he bring it? How far is he going to extend it and make Austin win worlds by what kind of a total? And when he shows up, he was talking about how he's like, I was like, dog, I think Russ owes you a dinner and a bottle of wine when he sees you in Lithuania. And he's like, my man, I think a lot of people do. And he's probably right. I think a lot of you guys are like, hey, dude, have a drink on me. All right? Because there's a big bag at Sheffield that we're all eyeing up, and he's helping out.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, please. If you make Austin go for 830-ish, oh, my God, that's going to change a lot. So, although Austin, regardless, if even Austin has to do 835, I expect his progression to be even more. And I know he's not going for 700, I think, on the IPF stage. I heard him say that on the podcast, saving it for Sheffield's. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. It's going to be crazy.
I do like, so here's the thing. Here's what I like about the way Sheffield's set up. I know the outlier talk right now is the talk of the town, right?
Mm-hmm.
To a large extent, Sheffield is set up not like using a formula, because formulas, it depends on who you ask, whether people like it, but Sheffield is set up in the outlier vein where it's how far ahead of the rest of all your weight class are you? And that's where it's like, it is leaning towards, let's find the outlier. How far ahead are you compared to history in your weight class? And that's what it's asking is like, yes, you're the best. not by a formula, because we swap the formula and everything changes. But and if I go back into previous history of tournaments that use specific formulas, if I change the formula, I would literally change who won that tournament. However, yeah. And that can happen. However, with Sheffield, it's just you versus history, and how ahead of everyone else are you comparative to each other? How far did you extend your world record comparative to everyone else? And that's literally who is the biggest outlier of outliers. That's what I do like about it.
Yeah.
Now someone might say, if you do super well one year, it could shoot you in the foot for the next year. And to that, yeah. I would say in sports, you don't necessarily want over and over the same guy running it for 7 years straight. If it's like Sheffield will become, it could become like, you know, the Austin Perkins show, and that's it every time. And that will actually hamper what you want is a changing cast where it's like, okay, I don't know this year. Okay. Don't know that year. That's also worked in. I mean, nothing is 100% flawless, but I do appreciate those things about it. At the very least, it's different.
Yeah.
And it's not in history. You can't change a formula and all changes. It's literally just, this is how far that person extended the world record. And there is no revision of history you could do. It's like, listen, when Bob came around, yes, the world record will change after him. But in his time, in his era, that's a fact. And there's no revisionist history you could do for what he's about to do at Sheffield. And yeah. I like that element of it. And it's universal. You know, all over the world, we all understand what that means. But I do think there'll be other money meets that come down the pipeline as the sport grows, where we'll have like special matchups or something or rather. I don't know what they're going to look like, but now that there's so many lifters in the U.S. and they all can't go on the U.S. world team, we need a home from them. And we have some good, look, Keiko's not even at Worlds. It's crazy.
Delaney's yeah,
not at Worlds. It's nuts.
Yeah. I do like the how the meet is won. I'm not going to lie, by percentage of the world record. I do like that. I wish that's how the previous meets I did was graded. That would have been very cool.
Yeah.
And I saw the relay meet, I think. It's the relay meet, the SBD meet that's like Sheffield's, like a mini Sheffield's. And I was like, wow, they want to do this now. Now they want to do this. I don't even have the opportunity to do it. I'm doing worlds. That's everyone I can do it.
Yeah, it's I think there'll be more and more stuff like that, more creative things. And maybe we see some nation versus US versus the world or stuff like that. It'll happen. Maybe in Europe, they'll have like a France versus Europe or whatever. But there's more and more money coming around, more and more special meets coming around. How do you feel about the TV deals happening? Do you think this is going to possibly cast the net and grab more potential athletes as they watch? And they're like, hey, that was more fun than I would have thought. I wouldn't think squatting and benching would be exciting to watch. And they watch it and they're like, what do you think the impact's going to be?
I don't know if it'll be much. I don't know much about it. But as long as the person that's switching the channels on the TV is not switching onto the bench, because they're just going to change that shit. They're not staying for that. I'm not going to lie. They're going to see colorful plates. Ooh, I can't. Two plates? Three plates? What is that? And then they're going to see KG at the bottom. Oh, yeah, I'm switching the channel. So as long as it's not on bench, and yeah, as long as it's on a popular channel, that's all I could say. I think that'll grow the sport, literally. I think it's a good thing.
I think so. It'll be on CBS, like obviously home of the Super Bowl, as well as it's already on Eurosport. I agree with you. Bench Worlds is not going to sell too many people. I do think like an event like Sheffield, that's like a one day all filler, or sorry, all killer, no filler, is exciting. Yeah. That's, I mean, the dynamics of it. If someone average everyday Joe sat down and watched that on a Saturday afternoon, they'd be like, holy shit, I didn't think powerlifting was that. It would be, oh wow, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm interested in seeing, we won't be able to tell until like 5 years if freaks start emerging, like you said, where
super freaks
come and you're like, oh shit, this is what happens when you're on CBS. The wrong guy saw that and is like, oh, is that a venue? Okay.
I will say, people like me, Rondell, and whoever wants to stick around, in 5 years from now, we got to stay in our A game because these young kids they're coming for sure. We got to put them in their place. And there's always the passing of the torch, but we can't pass that torch. We cannot pass that torch.
Do not go
Not just
quietly into that dark night.
that. Yeah. So we got to stay at it. There's a lot of young guns for sure.
What's a young gun that's got you on your heels? B Rondell was saying Nonzo from the UK. I don't know if you're paying attention to what he's doing, but
Absolutely. Absolutely.
yeah,
Nonzo,
get your thoughts
he's the
on him.
120. Have to pay attention to him. He's a monster. He probably will take over the 120s, as Rondell did say. I agree with that.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, he just got to stay 120 because he is young. So I know what he's like 18. Is your
It's
grown
crazy.
19 or something? As you're growing, your bones solidify. He's got to stay 120, but he's a monster. Another one is JJ Dalen Falk. He's a monster. Youngest
Yep.
USAPL national champion. He could easily come over, make some noise at 105. Yes, make some absolute noise at 105. He could probably come third right now in the open. So there's a lot of few people. There's a guy, Hamza, he's a teen as
Well,
well at 105.
yeah.
There's a few people, man. Good amount of people. And there's even, I'm gonna be honest, even the 74s, there's like a 17-year-old, I think David Wilson
Elliot
coaching him.
Sykes. Elliot Sykes.
Him?
And he hasn't even filled out 74 and he's squatting the world. It's crazy. You're right. These are teenagers, Bob. These are teenagers who just started shaving 2 years ago. And now they're like shifting. It's crazy. I think the second wave is coming, or another wave, anyways.
Yeah, another wave is coming for sure. I gotta say, they gotta be mentally strong in this sport because you don't want to just gas out. A lot of I see it all the time. A lot of these teens think, "Oh, I'm doing this at this age," and then they just fall off. You gotta stay with it, stay mentally in it. Life can be crazy, but you gotta stay pushing, and try not to chase numbers that are way ahead of your scheduling. I'll say that because one injury can mess you up for a long time. And then guess what? You're gonna end up totaling what you did at 19 at 24, and bear your first PR since I was 19 type shit. So they have potential, and they just gotta run with it. Because
It's
shit,
funny. Sorry, go
I
ahead.
joined sport at 20. I joined sport at 20 years old. If I seen these teams now, I probably would like, damn, I ain't shit. It's been crazy.
It's funny you say it because the current king, he kind of initially fell under that, like he had such like Perk had such momentum, he got injured, a serious injury. He doesn't People forget they're like, because forever he was chasing 800, and it took him years to realize his potential after that. He hit 800 and then regressed, his total regressed below 800 for years, and then finally injuries got sorted. And because he was chasing Atwood and all the hype, and he was pushing his body to the limit, suffered bad injuries, and years later ended up emerging with 851 and really gaining that steam. But it happens because these guys, in terms of weight to body, is insane now. In the possibility of being injured, it goes way up, and it could set you back for years, like Perk. Or period. And it'll be interesting to see if guys last as long as we're used to in previous generations, or if, due to what we're asking you guys to put your bodies through, careers get shortened. I don't know. This
Could
is kind of
happen.
new.
We don't know. It seriously can happen because I just have a good hunch. Like this next generation, yo, take it slowly. Don't go too crazy too soon. It's coming. You don't want to get injured and ruin your shit. I see it all the time. And I'm talking like I'm an OG. I'm talking like I'm an OG.
Well, you were around before. Like right now, everything's booming. It's on television. Sheffield and the streams are like exploding. The Olympic YouTube channel had 400,000 views. Just in comparison, USAPL Nats, that had you, Russ, like big names, was like 25,000. Like
Yeah, that was pretty.
exploding. So now the temptation on these teenagers is like, fuck yeah, I want to be invited to those parties. So I kind of get it. Like previous generations, when you first started, I know you, like you're saying, I'm talking like an OG, but you were around before. Like you can remember before, it wasn't like the same amount of attention and notoriety and level of, I don't know, fame as the world, but it wasn't. Like when you first came in, you'll be on a stream, but it's not going to change your life. Now, yes, you can have like a, if I take the Olympic YouTube of IPF Worlds, which is 400,000, then I took Eurosport, and now we're going to take CBS, and then we'll also, by the way, take all the different social media streams that like all the podcasts and whatnot. Easily over 1 million people are going to watch you perform. That is so tempting for a teenager to be like, do you want to be like Bob? Do you want to be like Perk? Do you want to be like, do you want to be involved in the conversation of the three kings, the four outliers, the, and these guys and girls are like, oh, hell yeah. And you got, and they're close. And these guys like you are talking about them when they talk about who's rising. Like, oh, Bob said, Bob said my name. Bob said, man, it's tough to settle down. It's tough to be like, take it easy, you know, pace yourself.
Yes, I'm happy it evolved the way it did. Because if Sheffield's and if everything was the way it was like 4 years ago when I had my first powerlifting meet, my goals would have been just disoriented. It would have been crazy. I would have been, because I'm always chasing whatever is at the top. So what if I chased what's at the top back then and then suddenly just got hurt or something? You never know.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility, man.
You change your route, so yeah.
I'm glad everything's worked out the way it did, man. This is, for me, like I was saying when you first came on, long awaited for you guys all to come over from USAPL, but you guys are here. We're under all the same roof. And now the battles are really going to begin. And now we're going to see these super matchups that we all wanted to see. And we're going to start mixing and matching people. And we'll have the super matches like Perk versus Russ, you versus Ash, you versus Rondell. It's all on the table now. It's all on the table now. This is the healthiest our sport has ever been. And I'm so glad you guys came over and there isn't still that split of talent. So whatever super matches we want to see, we're going to see. And we'll settle it. And I honestly believe at the end of all this, one of the big four is going to emerge. Or one of the big five, however we want to see it. Somebody has got to emerge. From Worlds to Sheffield to World Games, somebody's going to have to emerge from this era. And I don't know, dog, if it's you, God bless.
Yo, it could be, crazy.
God bless, man. Yeah.
Crazy, man. But I'm going to just keep my head down, keep working. I'll say this. For me, the future is bright because everything is just going so well. And I've gotten so much smarter, just knowledge is just coming, growing more and more and more. Lifting is getting better and better and better. I'm in an amazing spot right now. So no matter what, I'm just enjoying everything. And the strength is coming. It's coming. It's an amazing spot to be in.
Listen, thank you for coming on the podcast, my man. Greatly appreciated. You know, like we said, these athletic primes are like time flies by so quickly. And in terms of the rest of your life, it's going to be relatively brief. Take it all in. Yeah. And this is the moment. This is like a moment in your life, man. And what is about to happen is going to be one of the most special times of your life. You're going to recall from here on out, Worlds, Sheffield, World Games, all the preceding Worlds, all of it, dude. This is an era. This is the era of the five kings, and somebody's going to emerge, man. And thank you for coming on the podcast, by the way. I would love to have you back on again. I'm going to be in, obviously, Worlds doing the commentary and everything, but also be working with White Lights Media on some special projects. We'll keep in touch. Like we did that interview at PA Nats. We'll keep in touch. We'll link something up for Worlds. We'll make the most of Lithuania. We're all going there. So let's get the most bang for a buck out of it and get some content out there. But dog, I'm glad you're here. We'll keep in contact.
Absolutely, my guy. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks. For everybody listening, as per usual, please do subscribe, give us high ratings, and until next time, six pack lap of that, six up, and we are out.